Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Doesn't it just make you feel good to sing, "I love you, Lord"? Amen. It should make something just really come alive in you. You know, I'm worshiping my Lord, amen. I'm praising my King and my Lord, amen. I'm thankful for what He's done for me, amen. Hallelujah. I'm thankful. I truly am thankful. I wish that I could find the words to express. As I'm trying to express my thankfulness to Him, I find the Holy Ghost rising up and starting to speak in an angelic language, because that's not the only way. I could be travailed in prayer, and I'm thinking, you know, I just, you're trying to express, and all of a sudden you find another prayer life, another prayer in the Spirit start coming forth, and it starts building up that inner man and giving you a strength and a satisfaction, you know, that you've made the contact or the breakthrough, so to speak. And the same way you start to worship Him. You know, "I love you, Lord," amen. And all of a sudden you find that there's just the English language, it just doesn't meet the mark, I guess you could say. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for the English language for one reason. We could use it to communicate one to another, to bring forth the wonderful news of the gospel of Christ. Amen. And I would rather speak 5 intangible words that you can understand in English as 5,000 in an angelic tongue, you know, and because it isn't going to help you at all and do anything for you whatsoever at all. Praise the Lord.
Praise
amen.
The Lord. Hallelujah.
We got something to be thankful
Praise
for.
God.
Amen. Yeah. If you ain't got something to be thankful for, I can get you up here and I can unveil some things to you, and all of a sudden you're going to be real thankful.
Amen.
Yeah. And all I got to do is think about what my Lord saved me from. Amen. And what He brought me out of. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm thankful that He opened up my eyes. Amen. I tell you, we're in a world of blindness.
Amen.
Of blind people. Absolutely. We're living in a world of blindness. I'll say this before I say what I'm going to say here. I've never watched a movie on what do they call them, Walking Dead people, zombies?
I think so.
Yeah, and they chew on each other. I've never watched one of them. I guess they were pretty popular a few years ago, but Lord suffered that to come forth, because we're living in a world full of walking dead.
That's right.
I'm telling you, they are dead. You know, that's no great revelation, I know, by no means, but I mean, the Lord suffers those things to take place for we could see the absolute time and the day and the hour that we're living in. And they'll make you and try to convince you that they've got life. They'll want to talk to you about life and it's so great. And you look at them, you're thinking, man, you're living among the dead. If you can get a glimpse of eternal life, of heaven, it would be totally different. Amen. Let's pray while we're standing. Father, we thank You, Lord. I thank You for this work, this church, this brotherhood, this family of God. I thank You, Lord God, that You've allowed me to be numbered with it, Father. Father, as we come together to fellowship one with another this evening, Lord God, to break the bread of life, Father, help us, Lord. Help us to see what You would say unto the church. Father, have Your way in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all can be seated this evening. Lord, it's been good to us all. Amen.
Yeah.
I love to see the Lord working in your life. Amen. And adding an increase and a blessing to you and your substance. I tell you, the spiritual blessings are no different than the natural blessings. Well, there is a lot of difference. They're a million miles apart. But what I'm saying, for the pattern's sake, naturally speaking, if you don't sow, you don't reap. Spiritually speaking, the Bible said God's not mocked. You know, what a man soweth is what he reaps. I was listening to a gentleman today expressing a conversation of another individual. He'd been to a prayer breakfast meeting somewhere, a prayer fellowship meeting. And this man came to him and he says, "Why isn't God blessing me?" And he started saying, "You know, I've been serving the Lord for years, and why isn't God blessing me?" You know, and he's questioning God. Yeah, that's like going out here in the garden and looking at the dirt. "Well, why aren't you yielding forth fruit for me?" You know, what's wrong with you? Now, I'm not comparing God to dirt, but what I'm saying is, it's as foolish as thinking, "God, why aren't you blessing me?" And saying, "Ground, why aren't you bringing forth fruit to me? You ain't put nothing in it."
Right.
You know, you can get mad at the dirt. You can talk to it and things. And I know dirt, you know, it could be weak or need some help. And, you know, there's ways that can be conditioned. You know, even the Bible said put a little dung around the tree. You know, and there's things that can do to condition it. And the thing is we take the natural principles and we apply them to the walk with God. You know, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. But I've been asking. But you need to start listening. He's got the answers for you. You know, need to listen to what he's saying. The theology of the average American is just taking this God and made him this welfare program. You know, the only time we talk to him is, you know, I need. Lord, give me. Lord, give me. Lord, I need. Lord, I need. Lord, why not? And I got a letter from an inmate in prison, and I heard, the same old familiar things, you know, and why can't God deliver me? I've been perplexed with this meth addiction for years. Why can't God deliver me? Why can't you let him? Yeah. You know, and here's the sad thing is that we think like this. This is the way the average person thinks. Well, you know, I'm just going to pray and say, God, take this away. And it's just, you know, fly away. Oh, it's gone. Praise God. Now, I'm not going to take away the testimonies and the power of God. I've seen God deliver people and take things away. But I'm going to tell you what. Where growth comes in and strength comes in and anointing comes in is travail. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego could still be standing outside the fire and saying, oh, God, deliver me, God, deliver me. But he delivered them in the fire. You know, and they come out and they didn't even smell, huh? And Daniel could be outside the lion's den. But, you know, he delivered him in the lion's den. Amen. And sometimes, you know, we think that God's just going to wipe. And we sow and we sow and we sow and we sow into corruption. And then we just, okay, Lord, weed my garden for me. You do all the weeding for me. I'm going to sit back and watch you. You know, and sometimes they want the preacher to do it too. I've been in some gardens. I remember telling the individual, I said, my arms are bleeding, man, from pulling briars out of your patch. You know, and you're sitting on the porch drinking iced tea while I'm doing it. I'm done, man. Get out there and do it yourself. And then possibly when you're out there pulling them out yourself, you think, I'm not going to let this get out of hand again. You know, amen. It's pretty simple, isn't it? You know, the things of God are simple. And we try to make this God so different. And he is, believe me. But we make him like, well, I could spit in your face. I could mock you and I could laugh at you. I could do my own thing, live my own life, and just shun you and this and that. But you're just going to bless me because you're God. You're going to find out he isn't quite that way. And if you make it into the kingdom, it's by his mercy, by his grace, by his love. And I could say the same thing for myself. And the reason I say that is because at the very best efforts that I do is filthy rags. But that doesn't mean that we could just live like dogs and take the grace of God to lasciviousness. We got to get into the Word and press into the Word. Amen. I'm going to back up and read. I'm going to read in Romans, the 6th chapter. I want to go down here to about verse 18. And then I'm going to back up and read some more. But something struck me right in here in this area. It's just something that I'm going to read before we back up. It says, being then made free, verse 18, being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Man, I really like some of that. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. For we were the servants of sin, and ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things which of you are now ashamed for? The end of those things is death. Now listen, the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become the servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end, everlasting life. The end, everlasting life. Amen? So which end do you want? The end of death? You know, serving yourself, serving your will, serving this world, pleasures of this life and pleasure of this world. We're not even supposed to speak of those things. But the end of that is death. You know, we rend it on down even a little farther, and the carnal mind is death. A lot of times when we read the scriptures, we fail to really read the scriptures. You think of death, you know, and you think of, well, you know, somebody passed away. You know, that's death. They died, you buried them, you put a tombstone out there by their name and, you know, said in memory of, and this guy lived from 19 whatever to whatever. Okay? Death. Well, you're not wrong, but that's nothing. That could be as blessed as sleep. But then yet, again, we're so carnal, so natural, so worldly, so got our eyes on what we see, what we touch and everything, that we really aren't even moved by the spirit world when we look in the spirit world. Because when you see a death in the spirit world, there's nothing more devastating than that. Because that is not annihilation, but it's damnation. You know, some teach annihilation of, you know, just done away with, non-existent. Well, that would be better than damnation. You know, if you think, well, if I don't live here, and then all of a sudden you're just non-existent, nothing, no more. But there's a spirit in you that is eternal, that's going to live forever and ever and ever. Some say you're not supposed to use that term eternal with that. But whatever, it's not eternal life, it's eternally in judgment, eternally in damnation, eternally in misery, forever and ever and ever. And the worm dieth not. A place of torment and agony. You say, wow, you're trying to scare us into living right. I wished I could. But you know, when they walked with Jesus, it don't seem like, you know, and when they seen the great exploits of Moses, Joshua, Elijah, and Elisha, it seems like they would walk away and just go right back into willful sin and ignorance just that fast. It didn't take them long, just moments, right back at it. And you say, God, how foolish can they be? And I could say, well, how foolish can we be? How foolish can I be? How foolish can you be? I tell you, I want to serve the Lord. And there's so many factors or so many things that want to get in between you and him, serving him. And, you know, we read New Testament doctrine like, well, this one had cattle. This one had a wife, you know. You know, this one got a business. And, you know, we just get all of these things like they supersede or are more preeminent to us than seeking first the kingdom of God. The biblical principles are, again, as I started to say here, are as simple as the natural principles. You want a big garden? Plant a big garden. It's going to take work. You're going to toil in this thing. Well, spiritually speaking, you're in this ideology that you're going to sit around on your lazy duffel bag and you're going to curse God. You're going to do everything according to your desire of your flesh, and he's just going to bless you and give you life. You know, you need to be a Catholic. I mean, really, that's Catholic doctrine. And even some of them have more sense than that. At least they make you go over and confess to the priest. Some of the Calvinists think that confession is works. And they will find fault with you for confession. You know, you're just predestined, elect of God. And if your name's in the book of life, it's through the foreknowledge of God, and through predestination, either you're going to make it or you ain't. Well, there's a small bit of truth in that. But it goes a little bit farther than that also. That's the problem with a lot of religion, is they'll take a little bit of a truth and they'll take a little bit of a fact of something, and then they'll just take and twist it and pervert it and different things of such. So let's go back up to the first part of Romans and remember the latter part of it. And there's going to be one that brings us into death and another one into life of righteousness. Amen. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen? What is the likeness of his resurrection, saints? Think about it. You know, a lot of times we read scriptures, you know, we say, well, the Bible said we're children of the resurrection. We're the children of light. We're the children of righteousness. If we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. And see, I can't do away with either one of those. You see, we're in a religion today that's doing away with death. But we can't do away. Now, hear me out now. Death is abolished and death is done away with. Okay, and I'm speaking of a death. But then yet, I'm supposed to take up my cross daily and be crucified with the Lord daily and die daily. So now we're differentiating death, okay? So the thing is that if I've got to die daily, then I've got to resurrect daily. This is in the second dimension or the second heaven. Okay, we get over in the third heaven, there is no death there. Okay, so we speak totally different. So there's a sanctification realm, a transformation realm that we have to deal with. The end of the matter of the being sanctified once and for all by the works of Christ at Calvary, so it's all done, we're perfect. I've been made perfect by Christ. Amen. I don't need no works. I don't need no labors. I've entered into his rest. Now, see, I could speak that way from the third heaven. But the Bible says to make your calling and election sure. So now, where am I at? Why don't we just stay over there in the third heaven and forget about all this stuff? You know, let's forget about the fight and the travail and the warfare, the submission and the struggles. The people want to offer religion today with no works. Okay, and then they're offering a religion to you that there's no sacrifice and no death. Now, some preachers will say, well, Jesus died for you. I say the same thing. Okay, he died for you once and for all. I'm saved by grace, not by works, so no man can boast. I preach that same doctrine. Okay, so are we going to stop there? The Bible says line upon line, precept upon precept. So I could say, man, I said the sinner's prayer. I have faith. I believe in God. But the Bible said that the devil believes, even with fear and trembling. But does the devil have salvation? We know he doesn't. So am I going to have to go beyond my believing? I'm going to have to go beyond my believing. I'm going to have to make my calling and election sure. Now, how do I go about that? So, you know, when we start finding the disputes, the theologies, the denominationalism, and everybody has somewhat of a different road to salvation. And Jesus is the way and the only way, and there's only one way, and it's a straight and narrow way. A narrow little gate that we got to go through in this way, but he is the way. So, one says, say this prayer. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, repeat this prayer with me. I ask Jesus in my heart. I confess with my mouth, hey, I'm saved. No matter what you say, preacher, I'm saved. Wow, I like your religion. But if you got faith in that statement, I could say yay and amen. Yes, you are. But what are you saved from? If you say you're saved, then I'm going to question, well, what are you saved from? Because I see that you're no different than you was before you said you were saved. You know, if I'm in the ocean and I'm drowning or I'm wearing out and I'm getting tuckered out, I've been out there paddling for several hours and a guy comes by in the boat, you know what salvation is to me? A life preserver pulls me out of the sea and pulls me into a place of safety. Of, you know, man, he saved me. So what did Jesus save you from? You say, well, you know, I said this little prayer and he saved me from damnation and going to hell. Okay, but are you different? My Bible said you're a new creature in Christ, that old things passed away. Now, if your old things didn't pass away, does that mean you're not a new creature? Come on now. You know, a lot of times we pick and choose part of the scriptures, but if I'm going to pick and choose I'm a new creature in Christ, I got to also pick and choose that the old things have passed away. If the old things haven't passed away, then how am I going to pick and choose? Oh, I like the resurrection. Let's talk about the resurrection. But there's got to be a death before a resurrection. So can I bypass the death? So if I start understanding that there's formulation, we might say, then what I must understand with this formulation, there has to be some kind of an action. He said, without works, your faith is dead. But then yet we say, I've got faith, it's not by works, no man can boast, don't you tell me I got to do anything. Man, I got faith in Jesus, I'm saved, amen. Man, I've had many testimonies of that. But the fruit of their life is not Christ-like. So is there uncertain sounds in the spiritual kingdom? Is there uncertainties that, you know, you can have the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the world and the carnal mind of the devil and the love of the world and have all those things, but you got the right thing to say in the confession and you tell me that you're saved and you tell me that you're born of God. You tell me that you're going to live forever, but then yet the fruit is not there. That would be like me trying to cross into a country and tell them, well, you know, I'm a Russian and I know nothing about Russia. I don't know how to speak Russian. I don't look like a Russian. And they're saying, man, you know, all you're telling me is that you're Russian, but I see nothing Russian about you. Where was you born in Russia? I don't remember the name. Well, you know, it's like when you're a Christian. Hey, I'm relative to the kingdom of God. But then yet there's nothing Christ-like about you. There's no sacrifice. There's no labors. There's no works. There's no obedience. There's no fruit of righteousness. You're lacking love, joy, and peace. The things of the Spirit, you know. You're lacking those things. But then yet when we look, we see the flesh, the manifestation of envy and strife and jealousies and bitterness and hate. And you say, I'm a Christian. Well, you say, well, Brother Rob, what we got to do now? I'm going to help you for a minute. You got to make yourself twain. And I say, okay, praise God. Thank you for the revelation. So now we're going to make you a wretched, no good, fleshly dog. And then we're going to go over here and say, but you got this beautiful inward quickening of Christ over here. And I say, okay, man, I'm with you. Praise God. But what is this endurance and power and the Holy Ghost going to do? It's going to kill that other guy. Is that right? But then yet we don't want to deal with that man. Well, you know, hey, I want everything God's got, but ain't going to kill that guy out. I want to do what I want, live like I want. Okay, so let's talk about you now. So you want to do what you want, do what, you know, go where you want, and just live your own life, make all your own decisions. You don't want to submit to nobody. You don't want nobody making no decisions for you, and thus us and us. Okay, now, so I want you to go find your wife, and I want that wife to do you the way you want to do God. Now, we're supposed to be the bride of Christ, right? You know, without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. Amen. But you're going to go get this wife, and she's going to say, you know, hey, I don't want you telling me what to do. I don't want to, you know, it don't matter. I'm not going to come home tonight. I'm going to stay over at Delbert's house, Don's house, Johnny's house, somebody's house. Well, you ain't going to go for that, are you? Now, I'm supposed to be the bride of Christ. And also, I'm going to tell him, well, this is what I'm going to do. I don't want you telling me this and that. Well, you know, if you don't believe in divorce, you're going to start believing now because he's going to divorce you real quick. He never married you, honestly. You know, what are you saying, preacher? What are you saying, Brother Rob? What are you trying to say? Well, I'm trying to use simple things to show you how simple it is to serve God. And we make him so mystical, and we've, over the years, we've created this God that is going to allow us to have no sacrifice, have no suffering. Bible said, equip and prepare yourself with a mind to suffer. But we've created this God that, oh boy, if you're in the will of God, you know, everything's just going perfect. You know, that's a bad doctrine. Because when they think that everything is just going well and perfectly, that you're in the will of God, I'm sorry. Usually when you're in the will of God, there's going to be a big devil fighting you, kicking against you at every turn, every way you turn. Now, don't think I'm giving power to the devil now, but what I'm saying, God's going to be there with you, and people are going to see you enduring, overcoming Satan with all of his devices. But there's going to be a fight and a travail there. I'm going to promise you that. And there's no bypassing that. You know, you could say, well, I'm a man of God. I've got faith in God. And you're not going to speak that onto me, man, thus, thus, and all. And I said, well, let's just go talk about the previous men of God before you. And we could talk about the great apostles. And we could talk about the disciples. And we could talk about the endurance and the hardships that they endured to serve God. And we're Americans or sissies. It's changing, brethren. It's changing around. There's some things that are taking place in your land. I saw a little, I didn't read the article, but I didn't take time to read anything, but it was talking about You know, I'm not into sports. I don't watch sports. Don't care about them. But this was a high school football game, and the guy did something, and he pointed to God, and the referee threw out a flag and penalized him for this. And they said that you can't do that. Man, that's interesting. Yeah. Well, yeah, I know what brother. That's how Brother Pike would say it too. He'd think, you know, God don't need to be nowhere at no football game or ball game. Boy, he thought if there was ever an abomination, was a prayer at a ball event game. He said, "Can you imagine it having a local pastor come over and say a prayer over a loudspeaker at a ball game?" You know, and most people think, well, you know, praise God, you know, we're bringing Christ over here. He don't want to be there. And, you know, the thing is, I'm not in any way, shape, or form condoning sports, but I'm talking about the laws and the things that are taking place in our country. When they took prayer out of school, Brother Pike said, the Lord is the one who done that. See, I'd never heard a preacher say that. When I moved to Georgia and he made that statement, he said, the Lord is the one who took prayer out of school. Because it was a requirement for them teachers to pray. Before they took prayer out of school, they had to have opening prayer every time. You think, well, I think that's good. Brother Pike didn't think it was good when it was the drunk or the whoremonger or the harlot from the night before and they're praying with these children. He didn't think it was good whatsoever at all. But let's go on here, read the word a little bit. I'm just kind of talking with you. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So I don't see how we could eliminate the death. What is a death to you today? If I'm going to go through the motions of being baptized in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, then I'm being buried in the likeness of his death. And when I come forth as a new creature. Now, if I come forth out of the water and you can't see any difference or tell any difference or there's no change in me, then what was all that? Just motions? Shouldn't there be somewhere when we talk about the transformation of mind? What is the transformation of mind to you? What is the renewing of your mind? What is it coming into the mind of Jesus Christ? I know I'm keeping things as simple as I know how to, talking about simplistic things, but then yet they're so simple. Why has the whole world failed from the principles of God? I think you would be as easily convinced to me if I was here tonight and we wasn't a church and we was going to do a class on gardening next year. I think you would know what to expect to come out of my mouth. I know Brother Ed's done a lot of gardening and some of you others have, and this and I've done enough of it to know it's a lot of work. I'm going to tell you that you're going to have to prepare the soil. You're going to have to toil, you know, and it's work. You know, rotor tilling, plowing, I don't care what it is. If you're going to use a horse and buggy or a tractor, it's still work. You're going to have to turn the ground up. And there's certain processes that you got to go through to get a yield. But how come we just throw those principles away when the unseen things of the spirit world are revealed by those things? Gardening, it's telling us how to sow into the kingdom. But why do you think that you're going to sit around and God's going to do everything for you and you're just going to slop your way through this world and you're going to make it into the kingdom? That's the ideology of most folks. I'm sorry. Well, then you're going to put works, brother. If it isn't that way, then you're going to make it for me to make it into the kingdom works. You're not quite exactly accurate there. Let me say it like this. I'm already in the kingdom. You know, so I'm talking to you as you're not in the kingdom. If I'm in the kingdom, I'm not laboring to be in the kingdom. I'm in the kingdom laboring for I can get you into the kingdom. And if I don't have labors, that means I'm not in the kingdom because the kingdom mine is labors. Laboring for others, doing good to them, condescending to them, toiling for them, seeking their wealth, seeking their prosperity, seeking their soul, seeking their life, seeking their understanding, seeking to help them. Those are labors. My labors aren't for my salvation. I'm not looking for salvation. I am salvation. I'm not looking for eternal life. I am eternal life. You see, I don't have to look for something I've already have. You might be looking for eternal life because maybe you haven't found it, but I found it and I am it. I become one with it. Now, that might sound arrogant to you. It might sound puffed up or lifted up. But see, that's the rest that I'm in. If you're struggling to get somewhere, I'm resting because I already got there. How many of you have ever taken a journey before? And man, like, I got to go to Georgia, or I got to go to Tennessee. I got to go wherever, and you get in the car, and you go, and when you get there, it's like, whew, I'm finally there, man, I'm going to rest now. Well, so I've already made it into heaven. I'm in rest. I'm not in a toil and a journey of going there. And you say, well, man, I like that, Brother Rob. And it's that simple, huh? And I say, oh, sure it is. Okay, then why do we keep going back then and talking about travail and pressing and pushing and doing those things? Paul made a statement. You've heard it said a zillion times, okay, from the sacred death. He said, I travail until Christ be formed in you. So my labors are to bring others in, right? Okay, so now I could choose this life of, well, you know, hey, I got it all worked out with God and everything's fine. So, you know, let them all go to hell. I'm just going to take it easy here. Well, that would just be perfect proof that I don't have what I think I've got. Because if I got the same mind of Christ, let's talk about Jesus' mind. What was on his mind? You were. When he came to this earth, you were on his mind. And he was travailing that you could have life. He was pressing that you can have life. He is life. When he came here, he was the fullness of eternal life. But he came here and travailed for you could have life. He didn't come travail for he could have life. He wasn't trying to prove to himself who he was. He came here and all of his labors were that you could see who he was. Is that right? And when Peter saw who he was, he said, okay, my work here is done. And he changed the course. So what are you doing, Brother Rob? I'm doing the same thing he was doing. You say, well, are you doing it to the magnitude and the measure? No. You know, pray for me. Am I limited? If I'm limited, it's because I brought forth a limitation. He didn't give me limitation. I brought limitation through natural or carnal mind, from unbelief. But then yet, if I could look and I say, well, look, when I planted, yeah, it was a lot of work, but you've already been a farmer for a while and you've seen the fruit of your garden. You know, I know it's a lot of work and you're out there, you know, and people don't see nothing but dirt. And you're conditioning and toiling, they don't see. But you say, you know what, I can see beyond this dirt that's turned up here. I can see a lush harvest. And you can imagine it. But what about in the kingdom? You see, if our mind isn't thinking on the things above, thinking on the things of the Lord, then we're going to get distraught. Or we're going to get weary and well-doing because we're looking just too much at the clods, you know, and the toil, and not looking at what the fruit and the reward is. So now we'll take another step back even a little bit farther and look at it. So we look at this whole world. We're in a travail here. We're saying, this is my labors. I'm here to labor. I'm here to press. But I want you to bless me right now, God. He's already blessed me. He's given me everything. I'm just in labors with him now. I'm not here looking for my liberties in this world. I'm not here looking for what I can do or get by with. Well, what's wrong with this? Let me tell you, when you hear somebody in this mindset, or if you're thinking in this mindset, you're in a very dangerous dimension. Well, what's wrong with doing this? What's wrong with doing that? I don't see nothing wrong with this. I don't see nothing wrong with this. Why can't I do this? Why can't... When you hear that coming out of somebody's mouth, let me tell you something. Number one, they're lost. I'm telling you, I'm sorry, but you know, it's a small flock. You see, was Jesus thinking, well, what's wrong with... I'm just going to hang out over on the Sea of Tiberias today. I'm just going to fish and I'm going to have me a fish fry on the bank. He was toiling that you can have life. Now, he's our example. You say, oh, I'm a Christian, Christ-like. Okay, so what is Christ-like? Now, I want you to think for a moment. I mean, I'm dealing with people all the time that there's nothing wrong with ball games, nothing wrong with football, nothing wrong with baseball. I don't see a thing wrong with it. Well, there is nothing wrong with it. But Christ ain't going to be there. He don't got time for that. You know, and you say, well, what do you mean there ain't nothing wrong with it? You preach against it. The reason I preach against it, it's not that there's anything wrong with it except it gets your mind and then it pulls you away from God and causes you to lose your soul. That's why I preach against sports. There ain't a thing wrong with sports except the mind of it. The Bible said the carnal mind is enmity with God and death. Do you have a carnal mind? You say, well, I don't want one. But you know, we all have a carnal mind. You know, you could be as spiritual as what you think, but that mind is there, and that's why the Bible tells you to cast down its thoughts. What's it thinking about football? Cast it down. It has desires for those things. If I'm commanded in the Bible to think on the things from above, the things that are virtuous, the things that are righteous, the things that are godly, the things that are holy, am I thinking on those things when I'm at a football game? Come on, I'm asking. I don't see how. Well, you say, well, if there's nothing wrong with it, what would be wrong with being there? Because it's a threshold or a door that's open to you that's going to cause you to stumble a lot farther than that. You've just opened up a door of travels going in the wrong direction. Well, you know, I'm a child of God. You know, I love the Lord, and He wants me to have a good time. He wants me to just enjoy this world. Well, why didn't Jesus do that? Everywhere Jesus went, He was in a travail or a struggle, wasn't He? They were taking up stones. They wanted to kill Him. He'd have to kind of slip away. He did things that He enjoyed. He was about the Father's business. That's what He enjoyed. Talking about the things of the kingdom and the things of God. Those were the things that He enjoyed doing. So am I saying that this world of evangelism, this world of Christ, this Christian life, this life as a soldier is nothing but toil and vexation? Well, if I can get you into that mindset, yes. But then yet there's pleasures in this for a child of God. A soldier, when he's over on the battleground fighting, they'll pull him off the battlefield for a while and give him a little R&R. He might get a little rest. If he was on the battleground in Korea, they're going to pull you out of there and ship you over to an island nearby, and you're going to get a little bit of rest. You're not going to hear the bombs. You're not going to hear the things taking place, and you're going to get a little rest, but you're going to go back. There are pleasures, brethren, that we can enjoy as sons of God and Christians. So what is our conversation about here tonight, just talking with you? What is it about? I'm trying to erase your theology. I'm trying to get this Western theology of American Christianity out of your heart, out of your mind, out of your spirit, for you can get saved. Amen. And you can get really born again and be about the Father's business. Because America, because of its rich and because of its wealth, they've created another type of Christianity. And they've sent the ministers of Satan through the prosperity message over the years and teach you that wealth is the blessings of God, and you're prospering in the spiritual realm. This is what they've done. And the way to keep on prospering in that is by giving the preacher money. Well, see, there's some biblical truth, but there's a big lie in there at the same time. A really large lie. So what does the preacher have to do? He's got to come in and he's got to speak to your heart and to your spirit of the things that have been engraved and implanted in there for many years of Billy Graham false doctrine. There we'd lose 95% of America right there. Oh man, he's a great soul winner, Brother Rob. Set with more presidents than any other evangelist. And he's traveled all over the world preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Altar calls with thousands and thousands of people in it. How could you speak against that? He's an proselyte, twofold more the child of hell, surpassing land and sea, dragging people into the pits of hell with him. You say, well, you can't say he's not born of God. Well, I won't say that. Maybe in his old age, maybe he's got a conversion. Maybe he's really had a real born-again experience. Maybe he's really found the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe he's really come into doctrine and understanding since his big evangelistic years. What do I gain by saying something negative about this man? Does it make me better? No. Like I said, I'm trying to tear that theology out of your head. For you can get out of your little sinner's prayer mentality, and that you ask Jesus to come into your heart, and then you go drink, smoke, snort, lie, cheat, whoremonger around, and live like the world. Those are fruit. That's all fruit. I'm going to read just a little bit more because we're going to close here just directly. Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. We should not serve sin. So if I'm serving the worldly pleasures thing, I'd say it serves sin. So we've got to go all the way to the end of the chapter. What happens when I do that? What's the end of the matter? Come on now. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Have you been crucified with Christ? Are you truly dead? Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. If you died with him, you're going to be alive with him. And if you're alive with him, then you're going to yield forth the fruit of righteousness. If not, you're abiding in death. And your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace of God? Forbid. How many people have taken that verse of scriptures out of the Bible? Let's just delete 15. Let's just take it out of there. We're just going to go from our old natural carnal snorting self right into the third heaven. Forget about all the travail and the fight and the cross and the suffering. Forget about that. Amen. Jesus' love. He died for me. Sure he did. And he gave you his spirit that you can have power to endure all the way to the end. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? Now listen to this. You know, this isn't Brother Rob's idea. This ain't Brother George Pike's idea. This is the Bible. This ain't Pentecostal theology. You know, it ain't Baptist theology. This is the Bible. Okay? It should be all of our theology. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Is that simple? Why do we make it so complicated? That's simple. It's like either you are of your father the devil or either you are of God. You know, that's kind of black and white, I guess we could say. You know, but your theology, you're just going to make Jesus love you just the way you are. Ain't nobody going to tell you what to do. I ain't going to submit to nobody. I'm just going to. You are the biggest kind of ignorant. Sorry, ignorance being nice to you. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed. Why do we have to put that word in there? But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Doctrine. How many preach that? I don't preach doctrine. You ain't got nothing to preach about then. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. We're servants of something, ain't we? We're going to be in servitude, or we're going to be servants of something. It's either going to be of God or the devil. That's pretty simple. It's either going to be of sin or of righteousness. Oh, but you know, we could have a little bit of this. Oh, my. American theology. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I spake after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. It's a choice, brethren. It's a choice. I'm going to go ahead and read this on down. And for when we were the servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death. See, you're supposed to be ashamed of that former life. You're supposed to be ashamed that you ever yielded your members to the flesh. You need to be ashamed of it. But you know how many times you get around Christian people and they start saying, yeah, let me tell you something, man. I was the man. I drank enough beer to float a ship down the Mississippi. And you're going to drown in it, you reprobate. Why would you glorify that stuff? You know, I am so ashamed that I ever yielded my members to the flesh and to the sin and the lust of the flesh. I think of the things of that hurt people, that some people that because of my ignorance that they may never come out of it. You could introduce something to somebody in your foolish, filthy, fleshly way. And all of a sudden you think, man, this ain't right. But a man decided to leave the work of the Lord. And he's just going to go out, you know, he ain't been out in the world and this and that. And he thought, well, I'm just going to go ahead and get in the world a little bit. Go do a little bit of dancing, you know. Go do a little bit of drinking, you know, a little bit this, that. And he gets out there and he realizes it ain't for him. He found sorrow and heartache and condemnation. He found that this peace that he had all of a sudden had departed him. And then he decided, you know what, I'm going to repent, get right. He repented before the Lord, got right. But you know, the sad thing is he let his companion out there with him. She didn't want to come back. I'll just stomp them, man. They live like a dog. You took them out there. How many people want to do that? Oh, this is a day and hour, man. We divorce. I'll dump them. Man, they ain't right. Just leave them. Go on. How many times do we walk away from things that we sowed and leave it in such an array and think that we're innocent and free? The toils of labors as a working man is a vacation compared to the travail in Christ if you're really travailing for souls. Entering into the travails with another man, it'd be easy to hang up my phone, but I enter into travails of broken marriages, broken homes. Listening to the puking of a man or the puking of a woman. You know, when I say puking, just spewing, and it's dirty and it's unclean, but it's toiling through the mire to pull them out of the mire. But it's a willingness to choose to do that. And you got to be willingly and gladly do that. I am not trying to vindicate my place or my position. You know, by no means, I feel like I'm not doing enough. But as I look into the evangelistic field, and I've got many opportunities in the evangelistic field, but then I look and I say, well, what is my evangelistic efforts? I'm going to leave these children with... Let me tell you this. If I was going to take and place a child in a home, and I've got this little 18-month-old baby boy, and I'm going to, you know, and I've got to make a decision to place this baby in a home. Can y'all see that and perceive that? Well, here's, you know, John and Jerry. Oh, they want to adopt the little boy. Oh, John and Jerry. Oh, but they seem so nice. Here's little Georgie. Okay, so now you could perceive that that's a perversion. Is that right? Now, maybe you think it's a perversion, but the world out here don't think that's a perversion. But what about spiritually speaking? I'm going to go and labor and bring forth children through the ministering and the preaching of the gospel. I'm going to leave them with perversion. I'm going to leave them with a woman preacher. I'm going to leave them with somebody that believes in the formulations of baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, which has no authority and remits no sin. And they're going to get them into a doctrine. Now they think that they've got God because I'm the great preacher, evangelist, and I come over. And now they think they've got God. They would have been better off if we left them out there in the world. And then they know they need God and at least find the right God. Don't leave them with the false God. You know, there's many people that are in the Catholic Church say, well, I know I have to be something. Well, this works for me. I kind of like this religion. You know, they make me feel good. You know, I said my Hail Marys. I said, you know, these things. I counted my beads and I got them polished really shiny and stuff from sliding them around through my fingers and I'm okay. You see, you think, well, you're mocking those kind of things. Well, I might be mocking you and your religion. Well, I go to church. I said the sinner's prayer. Oh, I don't have to do nothing. Ain't nobody going to tell me what I got to do. Man, Jesus loves me just the way I am. The whore that was up here standing right there speaking in tongues and dancing. And just, boy, she just thought she was it. Nothing but a Jezebel shacked up. But that's what she was. I could make it sound nice. Speaking in tongues, hallelujah, dancing, glory be to Jesus. Made me want to puke on the floor. She said, Jesus loves me just the way that I am. I said, who been lying to you? She'd be better off out there in the crack house and leave God out of her life. She'd be better off. As to come in and make a mockery of the holiness of God and seeing that I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost because I speak in tongues and ain't nobody going to tell me nothing. He loves me just the way that I am. God's love is unconditional. Well, you need to go convince him that. When he says, I never knew you, ye that work iniquity, depart from me and cast into the eternal damnation. You need to tell the Jewish elect people that when the earth opened up and swallowed thousands of them up and swallowed them up. You need to remember when the two she-bears come out of the woods and killed, 23 children, for calling the prophet of God bold. And if God allows the bears to come in and kill children. And you want to tell me God's love's unconditional? It is unconditional. He's going to unconditionally cast you into damnation and hell for all of eternity if you don't repent and get right with him and quit playing games with him. That's the realities of things, brother. Y'all love the Lord? I enjoy salvation. You like preaching too, don't you, Brother Rom? You like wearing people out. No, I don't like wearing people out. But I don't want their blood on my hands neither. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. What's that in there for? We got the new Bible called to pick and choose what you want to eat. Let me read just a little bit. And I, brethren, if yet preach circumcision, why do I suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased? I would they were cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. You've been called unto liberty. You've been called unto liberty. That's the broken record if you don't read the rest of it. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. But by love, serve one another. Don't use the grace to the occasion of your flesh. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I'd like to try to convince your neighbor of that. Verse 15, bite if ye bite and devour one another. Take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. That's what you can expect. When you're bickering and biting and devouring and all that, I mean, you're just in a wilderness. You're in trouble. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, then could I simply say you're not walking in the Spirit? But how can you think that you're spiritual and that you're in the Spirit and that you're a child of God and you're in the kingdom of God and you're walking in the flesh? You can't have both. It's either one's dead and the other one's alive, or the other one's still alive and the other one ain't ever been born yet. Amen? This I say then, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This I say then, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Before I read that, I want to go back to verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other. Now let me ask you a question. What happens when your theology makes them not contrary? I'm asking you the question. Okay, your theology, your religion, your ideology, your thoughts, your lukewarm, sissified, sickening Christianity, your perverted Christianity. I'm trying to be nice. I just don't know how to call stinking, rotten, smelly flesh good. You know, come here, oh, that smells good. No, it don't. Men are liars. They are. They're just liars. And they've learned to lie. They lie to themselves. Well, I'm not fat. I'm pleasantly plump. I mean, come on, man. Amen. Yeah, hush up. Why do you want to say amen to that? You know. Okay. I mean, we just lie to ourselves all the time, you know. You're good looking. Okay, no. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Okay, now, we know by reading over in Romans over there what the works of the flesh are. What's the end of the matter? Damnation, death. Okay? Now, the end of yielding our life to the Spirit of God brings forth, yields to righteousness and everlasting life. Okay. So now, here's this a little simple. How many believe that this is the Word of God? Amen. It's God breathed, it's the Word. Okay. This isn't, I don't have a choice to say, well, I don't want to believe that part. Unless you sit under Joel Osteen. And then you can choose what you want and eat what you want. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Is that easy to understand? I think it's pretty simple. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, if you think that you've got all these things, we can go into the revelation of these things. Jesus said this: a man look at a woman and lust after, he has committed adultery. If you're an adulterer, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Well, I'm not an adulterer. I'm not in no sexual immorality. But friendship with the world is adultery in God. Oh, my God, come on, Brother Rob, please. Murderers. Do you realize that we know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren? But then yet we could do our brethren wrong and be guilty of murder according to the New Testament doctrine? Murders. You know, you look at me and you say, well, I know we got to die every day and take up the cross and be crucified. But you know how many times I've been murdered? It would be alarming to you. I have been murdered in the house of my friends. I've been murdered by people that we call brethren before. And you know, you say, what do you mean, Brother Rob? How would you murder somebody? You're still alive. How could you be murdered? Let me tell you something. I am a soul winner. And I come to bring good news of the gospel and glad tidings to men. Okay? But you could murder me through envy and strife and jealousies, and carnality and fleshly, and you could murder me, and where I cannot help somebody, that I'm as good as dead to them. My words don't have nothing. And it's because of your haughtiness and your elevated mind, thinking so highly of yourself, that you put the Lord Himself to death. You say, well, you're not the Lord. He lives and dwells in me, and you could be guilty of murdering. Amen. I got all kinds of testimony. So, you know, when we start thinking, well, I don't do these things. Well, wait a second. You need to be very cautious and very careful what you say you don't do. Drunkenness, as you hear me say, you could have never had a drop of alcohol ever in your bloodstream and die and go to hell as a drunkard by being drunk on the love and the cares of this world. If Jesus made the statement a man could look on a woman and committed adultery, then why can't I say that drunkenness, being drunk on the love of the world and the cares of the world, the football games, the ball games, and whoopee, hallelujah, glory be to Jesus, amen? Have you ever tried to take the keys away from a drunk man before?
Don't you tell me that I could drive this car. I'm going to drive this car. You just get away. Oh, wet your tail end.
You can't convince him he ain't fit to drive, can you? Well, when you're so drunk on the flesh and so drunk on the world, you're on your way. Don't you tell me I'm going to hell. I know Jesus Christ. I'm mocking the devil, man. Reveling such like. For which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that we which do those things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. It's pretty simple. People are so carnal and so blind, and you sit right under their noses, and they're lost on their way to hell. I wish that I could open some eyes. I want to be a miracle worker. I want to see eyes open. I can care less about 20/20 vision. I can care less about your ability to run the 100-yard dash, but I want to see some people delivered from being bound and lame and not being able to walk in the Spirit. Brethren, I got people that are dear to me. Dear to me. But they're so carnal and so blind and so lost. It's very frightening. I share sometimes some of the visions I have with you. I say, you know, a man's children's blood dripping off of his hands. It tears me out of the frame. I mean, it just tears me up. You can't even talk to them. You can't share nothing with them. You can't say anything to them. I think of this Sanhedrin, this highest council of religious people when Jesus was walking the earth, how they would sit and they would talk in their highfalutin and lifted up ways, and they're making plans to kill our Lord and Savior. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Well, love isn't going to break fellowship. You know, I could take you over and talk about charity, and it thinketh no evil. That's why I got to break fellowship with some, because it makes me think evil. So it's like, you know, you're making me think evil, sir. The Bible I read says, charity believeth all things, and I ain't believing a word coming out of your mouth. So either I ain't got charity, or you're the biggest liar ever was, so I'm just going to depart from you. I perceive there's no understanding you, you liar. So, because I want to believe all things, and I can't believe you. Come on now. It's tough. There's people that make me feel unclean to be around them. Because, okay, I either got to say nothing here. And if I say nothing, I'm giving Godspeed to what you're saying. And you're making me very uncomfortable. Yeah. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. And love thinketh no evil. It vaunteth not itself. It believeth all things. Help me, Jesus. Joy? Well, I won the lottery. I got joy. No. Now, if you're born again, you're in the Spirit, and you're of the Spirit, and you're walking in the Spirit, led of the Spirit, thinking of spiritual things, and you're all around spiritual things. So we got the fruit of the Spirit is love, football, baseball, joy, peace, long-suffering. Okay, I'm sorry. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Temperance is a good one. When you got some of these guys that are trying your faith, or your love believeth all things. Love does believeth all things, and I believe you are a liar. I'm believing that, sir. Hey, I like that. I just got a way out of that one. And they that are Christ have crucified. Okay, listen to me. And they that are Christ have crucified the fornication, adultery, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance. How about that? And they that have that are Christ have crucified, and they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Come on now. This is the word. This has been presented to you in the most simplistic way that I know how. I'm not much of a teacher, not much of a reader, not much of an orator, but I read the Bible tonight. And I've done this as clear as I know to express it, to explain, say, well, we could have just read it. Well, then why haven't you? Why are you so fleshly? Why do you desire fleshly things? Why do you walk in darkness? Why do you walk in the flesh if you could read it? If you believe in God and you have the fear of God, and the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, so now you have wisdom, so you've got this wisdom, and you don't believe what you read? I tell you, you need to pray and trust the Lord and have a real genuine experience and ask Him to help you. Because your Billy Graham theology is going to put you in hell. You know, I said the sinner's prayer. I've confessed with my mouth you're a Catholic. Well, God, I'm putting under the blood. I'm just pleading the blood of Jesus. Oh, I know nobody's perfect and I just can't live right. And I'm going to just live in one, but it's under the blood. No, it ain't under the blood. The only thing under the blood is you on top of the blood, trampling it under your feet in lasciviousness. We got all power, all authority. We got the power to come out of the world. We got a power to walk upright in righteousness. We got a power to tread on the scorpion's serpent. We got a power to put them under our feet. And we need to start talking like men with valor, men of power, men that's been filled with the power of God. And quit making this poor mouth religion, you know, and quit being a Catholic. And start being a child of God. Take and put your hand on the plow and don't look back. And let's go. There's people around us that's making excuses on everything. Oh, you know, man, I'm a victim. You know, why can't God do this for me? He's doing this over here. Why can't God? You know, and it's like, please. And allow God to be God. And won't you just quit trying to make Him fit into your ideology or into what your thinking is and just let His word be true and let it be yea and amen and line up with His word and quit trying to rewrite the Bible. And say, this is the word. It's simple. Let's read it. Let's live it. And let's walk therein. Amen. Let's stand together. It's not complicated. You say, well, it's sure hard to serve God. Well, it's because you're trying to serve flesh. And you'll never be able to serve God while you're in the flesh. Crucify, mortify, kill out the lust of your desires, the lust of your wants. Get them out of your life. I enjoy serving the Lord. Do you enjoy serving God, Brother Ed? I mean, is it like a terrible life or something? Amen. It's the life of Christ, the life in the kingdom. Amen. So we travail. You know, I'd like to go to the paradise, and I'd like to just go over and hang out in this island and be in the paradise. And I said, you know what? It's vexing over there. But wait till the paradise that God has in store for us. Amen. The beauty of the kingdom. Amen. Can you be in the kingdom now? Amen. Sure you can. That's part of your problem. You've made everything in God after you die. And you got a little bit of truth, but you're supposed to die now. Today's the day of salvation. So to have salvation is you die today. So you say, well, you know, you know, all this blessings of God is after I die and then I'm going to be in heaven, this and that. You'll never see heaven with that kind of mindset. The blessings of God are now. God is the God of now. He is the I am. Today, brother, now we are the sons of God. Now we're living in the kingdom. Now we're walking in the presence. Now we're fellowshipping with him. Now we've got our hand in a nail-scarred hand, and he's the God of now. If you don't know him now, you'll never know him. If you think you're going to take your last breath and then meet him, it ain't going to be that way. You're only going to meet time of separation, and then you're going to be called back before him on the day of the white throne judgment. You're going to be cast into the lake of fire with death. Amen. So the word of God's real. It's yea and amen. And let's quit playing games with it. Let's get real with it. Don't let your businesses sidetrack you from what the purpose is and what the kingdom's about. Amen. Let's don't get sidetracked with anything. Let's serve God with all of our heart and all of our mind. Amen. We got people that are dying in our presence. But you know, we're going to have to come to a place, brethren, because we're at a place where we're going to see loved ones perishing. And you're going to have to be able to look God in the eye and say, God, you're a just God. You're a righteous God. I love you. You're my God and you're my Lord. I find no fault with you. Are we there? Not a one of us. I'm sorry to say. God, I love you. And I know you've done everything to save my son. God, I love you. I know you've done everything to save my daughter. God, I love you. I know you've done everything. I find no fault with you. But if you have one vessel on another dishonor, I find no fault. Amen. I love you, Jesus. I'm going to serve you. As a lady told me in this church right here, she said, Brother Rob, I saw her spirit drawn back and drawn back. And I said, Sister, what's the problem? She goes, I can't believe what you're saying, because if I believe what you're saying, my daddy's in hell. I said, no, it don't work that way. She's accountable for what Brother Rob's preaching. Her daddy wasn't if he didn't hear it. But I'm bringing forth the truth and the revelation of Jesus Christ. Be careful. You can't intermingle with that out there. You intermingle with it, you know, whoever yield your members to or who you are of. I can't intermingle with it, brethren. And I'm trying to win souls. I'm not going to modify my doctrine to fellowship these people. I got ministers, I'll bring them here, put behind a sacred desk, they ain't lined up with me at all. They might be involved in sports, they might be involved in not walking in holiness. I got strong convictions of holiness, and I'm working with them, and I'll try them, and people can find fault with me, but I will make decisions if I don't see growth and people walking in the grace and knowledge of God. I will make decisions. And I, you know, people think that I just make easy decisions, just depart people and put people out just like there's nothing. No, I don't do it that way. I can't do it that way. But there is got to be a point of time that you say, okay, this is what I have to do. I'm led by the Spirit of God, and I got to follow the leading of the Lord. You know, I can't be a respecter of people. I got to allow the Lord to be God. And if you line up, praise the Lord. If you walk with me as I walk with him, praise God. If you decide to go after your own peculiar ways, you know, or precarious ways is what I meant to say, then that's your choice. You know, but I can't put God's speed to it. I've had numerous people come to me in this church, and when we put blessings on what they do, I say, man, I'm sorry. I can't do it. So you all have, many of you, I'm telling you, you all, I'm not talking about the people outside. Many of you have come up with the thing, I'm just too hard. And I deal with that around the ministry and around things, like, just back off. People dealing with me were like that before I ever met Brother George Pike. You know, they said, you know, a preacher, I'm preaching in his church, and he said, Brother Rob, if you'd back off a little bit, you'd get better offerings. I said, what makes you think I want your offering? The Lord dealt with me before I ever went into ministry. And you can ask my wife, when I'd travel and preach in a church, I wouldn't even let him give me an offering. I didn't want to be numbered with the evangelist, the money, greedy, hungry evangelist that was going to just sugarcoat everything and polish up everything for they can get an offering. So I let him know right off the front. When I was preaching in the Philippines, I let him know right off, I'm not here for your money. I'm over here to spend thousands of dollars to get the word of God to you. You know, and these preachers come to me, not one, not two, not five, not ten, at least 40 to 50 of them. This is how they introduce themselves to me. Hey, I'm evangelist such, I'm pastor, I'm full time now. That's what they know. I'm full time. You know how many times I heard it? I'm full time. Well, is there any other kind of minister that there is? You know, I mean, you're full time a minister if you're a minister. And you might be on a job like Paul was, making tents, but he was a full time minister. Amen. He was doing everything he could to minister everywhere and every bit of the time. And they had this thing that had put them on a better plateau with their full time. And I started talking and fellowship with them. And every one of them had wives, including the one that we had pastor in a church here called Christian Temple. And his wife worked. But I'm full time. I get to sleep in till noon. Woohoo. But I'm full time and my wife is working. That's good. All right. I'm going to preach. So I'm going to close. And you love the Lord. Let's sing a song or two and we'll close the service. Amen. I'm full-time for the Lord, brother. You're full-time for the Lord. I don't want to be part-time Christian. I don't want to serve God part-time. I want to give Him all my time. Amen? And let Him share with me, and I'll share with Him. He wants to share with you, but you got to share with Him. If you ain't sharing with Him, He ain't sharing with you. You control God. Your carnal mind has the power to bind things up in heaven. Your natural mind. You could bind up the forgiveness of God, the love of God, the blessings of God, and the provision of God. You got that power to bind that in heaven, and it'll never come down to you. Amen. You got the power to loose. You got the power to bind. Amen. Let me tell you what you think. You say, I'm going to bind the devil. It ain't happening. You ain't never going to bind the devil. Jesus is going to bind him in that pit for 1,000 years. At that time, but right now he's got power to go to and fro. You can draw nigh to God and resist him. The devil's going to flee from you, but you ain't going to tie him down. He's going to flee. He's going to go somewhere else. If you can bind him down, tie him good, for he can't come back and rape you no more. For he can't come back and molest your mind no more. If you got the power to bind him, then you need to bind him. You need to bind him from your thoughts and bind him from your carnality and from your love for the world and the lust of the world. Bind you away from your family ties and get into the family of God. Amen. And serve God with all of your heart. Amen. Trust the Lord. Sell out to God. Follow the Lord. Amen.
Because I know He holds the future and life is worth the living just because He lives.
You know, today I was by myself driving my wife's car. Brother Chuck got this little thing about that big and about that wide, and it's got all Brother George's sermons on it.
Wow.
Got a little tiny thing that big, and I mean, it's got several hundred sermons on. So I'm in there listening to a sermon. He started singing, and I can't preach like him, nor can I sing. But he was all tied up. He was singing this song, and I've been dealing with a little bit of tied up myself. And even when I'm not tied up, I still can't sing. But, you know, I probably couldn't tell you a key from a note or whatever, but, you know. But I felt like I kind of found him. You know what I'm saying? You say, I doubt it, Brother Rob. I do, too. But, if, you know, I'm talking about I'm tone deaf, too. Colorblind, tone deaf, and ignorant. So, but but I kind of found him. And I was singing with him, and he was tied up, and I was tied up, and about the same time, I'm thinking, man, I wish I could sound like Brother Joe, but I mean, I could hear like the kind of rasp, you know, when he was got into this one, and man, I did the exact same, man, I am like Brother Joe, no, you know, and all right, that was my moment of the day, man, you know, sorry, you know, we both cracked at the same time, I guess.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.